And now it's time for distraction. They would have called it good material, but it's not.
I'm sort of a master of distraction.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Yes! Now this is what I imagined.
And welcome to Distraction, episode 16. Our podcast can legally drive now, so that's pretty fun.
Woo.
What else can you do at 16 years old? Can you go to like R-rated movies at 18?
No, isn't that 14?
Without a parent?
Is it 14?
No, 18.
18 without a parent is rated R movies. So we're a couple episodes away.
17.
Worked at the theater.
17.
17. Yeah,
17.
NC-17, that's what it's called. Is that for a little more graphic, right? Like,
That would be, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I'm glad we got that figured out right away. So this is actually a live podcast. Last week we were two-thirds of us live. Jordan has also done a live podcast with Tim and Ash before. And now we are all in the same room together for the first time ever. So this is a pretty special episode. So you guys can introduce yourself. I will not do it for you this time.
Tim's taking a back seat. This is Jordan, and we got Teacher Tim and Teacher Ashlyn.
Hey.
Hey.
I don't think Teacher Ashlyn is actually your name for the show.
Yeah, we're going to call it.
I'm just Ashlyn.
But we did look up, so all of the swear words for The Good Place is what we're trying to incorporate in the show, so we stop cussing as much.
Did I just swear already?
No. But the swear word for, a S dollar sign is Ash.
Oh.
So now I think that Ashlyn should just be...
Asshole.
Asshole.
Oh, God.
That's not
I get ashtray.
We can give... I think just ash in general, ash. Because then we're just saying a bad word every time we talk to you.
Oh, I like it.
We'll get it. We'll do a little BTS and see if she likes that at all. Behind the scenes, if you didn't know that.
Oh.
Hey, the mics are off. Do you
some
like that or not?
I mean, Jordan says MCU for everything. He didn't really explain it sometimes. But we got through it pretty good last time, so that's good. I'm going to do a little recap what we're going to do. We're going to talk to our wife. We're going to go through some news. It's a short news week, but pretty much our talk this week is going to be Bachelor talk. We want to get in The Bachelor, see if it's actually a good show or not a good show. Obviously, I had some opinions last week, but we have some Bachelor experts. I don't know if they're experts, but they watch it, so... that's good enough for me. But we'll get into that. Before we get into that, you should definitely follow all of our media trends we're doing. Jordan is doing a great job getting the Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and now we're on some other stuff. We have a website now.
Yeah. Pod description. Pod.
Whoa.
Description.
All right. Sorry. I'm trying to level everybody's audio. If you can't tell, we sound different. So, it's poddistraction.com.
There we go. He used his little editing stuff as an excuse, but it's poddistraction.com. Go look at it. Just like, enter it in, see if it comes up. If there's something wrong with it, tell us. If there's something good with it, tell us still on Twitter and keep sharing us along and make people listen to our podcast.
Basically, it's just going to have all the episodes and where you can listen to us. So it's not really any different, but we didn't want to have another situation come up where we wished we would have bought the URL.
Yeah, and then if you haven't already gone to the podcast on iTunes and left a comment or something like that, leave a comment and just say something about Tim's TV talk timer or something about Tim, just so I know that you just heard this right now. That'll make me feel better. All right. So we'll talk to our wife now and see what she has for notes.
Well, she's in the room, but she doesn't actually want to talk. She gave me a list, and it's short again this week. She said, first of all, last week's episode, although nerdy, was one of her favorites thus far. She said that our detail was exactly what she was looking for. So, good job on you, Tim. I felt like you were pulling detail out of us, too.
I think that having nerds on a show together kind of makes it all well-rounded. When the nerds always go a little extra mile on their papers and want to do like extra three pages or have their sources all written out. So I think doing the nerd thing kind of worked out in our favor to really detail everything out. So I think credit to you and Al for being the nerds for this week and making it special.
Well, I guess. Thank you.
And also the Instagram quote, nerd by association for the NBA, was pretty great too.
Yeah, I loved that quote so much I made the Instagram post. Yeah. Did pretty well.
NBA All-Star.
The other note was video games should not be allowed in discussion.
Correct.
Very good point. I think in the moment I just got so upset because like I got was just like, all right, what am I going to draft? What's a really good nerdy thing I love? And then I didn't think about it like, oh, yeah, this is a movie and TV podcast.
Yep.
Can't and take video games.
A little behind the scenes for that action as well. Al was so disappointed that you picked Mass Effect. Oh, I guess he was happy, too, at the same time. He was giggling and smiling when I saw him live. And after we recorded and we're all done, he was asking Jordan, like, they don't know each other except for this podcast. This one time, Al was asking him questions like, are you a soldier or assassin? And all this stuff, like really nerdy stuff that I know nothing about.
Obviously, but, because that wasn't, that's not even.
What are the two options? Tell me the two options.
Yes, if I was, you know, Paragon or Renegade.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, exactly. That's what. Okay.
Why are you laughing?
That
so
was
much?
This sounds nerdier than what I said. So, we'll talk. That's last video games. We're done with video games. Let's move on.
Hey, you went Halo. You doubled down on it.
Cause you said video games, so I felt like I was pressured into it.
All right. NBA. Sorry. Didn't mean to pressure you.
Okay. So, any more notes from the wife?
Nope. That's it.
That was easy. Okay. So, do we do your sexy, unsexy voice?
Ooh, un.
Well, you didn't like when I said sexy voice before. So
I did not like it. I'm just uncomfortable with compliments.
Like in The Good Place with Ted Danson in the last episode, if you've seen it.
Yeah.
Or two episodes ago. But yeah, still watch The Good Place. My recommendation to you guys.
And now it's time for news.
Of course, no one can see this news program, so it doesn't really matter what we say.
And we're not talking about Huey Lewis in the news.
But I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
We're talking about facts.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, and we're back with news. And as you guys remember, we now do it, pass or play. So if you don't want to talk about a specific news topic, just say pass. If you do want to talk about it, say play. So earlier this week, John Wick Chapter 3 trailer had dropped. It was the first look at John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, I think is how you pronounce it. Looked like a lot of guns. Oh, yeah, that's right. Pass or play. I'm not very good at this.
I'm learning your old rules. Let's play it.
Play. All right. Thoughts?
I don't particularly like Keanu Reeves. However, I really like him in this series, and I think they're good movies, so I'm excited for the next John Wick.
Good play. I'll play. Yeah, I think more bad guys, more dead bad guys. I don't think it's going to be the most innovative conflict.
But, I was going to say, this is really deep.
I think they'll do a creative rendition on how to kill bad guys. I'm in.
Right.
So, I have a thought about the trailer as well. So I actually haven't seen any of the John Wicks, but I know things about John Wick. The first one was more than 3 years ago, right? So I can spoil a little bit of it.
You can spoil the first one.
Okay. So in the first one, a dog died, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
correct?
The premise.
Correct.
That creates the entire...
So, we haven't
it's deeper than that.
We haven't really gotten to the new trailer yet. So one, I do see him riding a horse, which is a Twitter meme that's online. Like he has a gun and he's pointing down on someone. And he's on a horse, and like there's a whole meme thing about it. If you look on Twitter, you can find it. But there are two dogs in the trailer at the end when they're like kind of fighting things off. I hope there's no dog deaths in John Wick 3.
In John Wick 2, or at the end of John Wick 1, he does get himself another dog, which does survive through John Wick 2. Spoiler alert.
So there could be a dog death in John Wick 3?
Could be.
I think that would be,
but it's not guaranteed.
I don't think they should kill a dog in John Wick 3.
Well, and we need to clarify, in John Wick 1, they didn't kill a dog. They killed a puppy.
Ouch. now we're getting deep into stuff. We're getting deep in the combo.
So, it's important. It's an important fact.
Yeah, but it wasn't just a puppy. It was a puppy sent to him by his dead wife beyond the grave.
It was so tragic.
The puppy represented his wife and all memories of the peace that his wife brought him.
Fair. In the actual
trilogy. Now we got deep about John Wick.
So John Wick 3, I don't know anything about the show. I've seen the trailer, though. In the John Wick 3 trailer, is there anything like relatable from John Wick 2 or 1 that you really see in the trailer that makes you kind of stand out, want to watch it more?
Some of that is like a spoiler for 2, and I don't know if we want to get into a spoiler for 2. But, I mean, the cinematography looks really cool. There's a lot of very colorful scenes and a lot of really cool, I guess, it almost is like a video game where you know you're in a room and it's just like, all right, here's the next setup for the next battle scene. Like, there was a lot of that, which I thought was visually is pretty, pretty cool.
Okay. Can I tell a fun story or should I just kind of save it?
No, let's
tell it.
Okay. So I was going, we have a softball team for the Pumpkin Boys. It's our kind of group of guys. And after a certain night of drinking and softball, I went home to watch Game of Thrones on DirecTV. And DirecTV, I didn't have any on-demand or anything, so I had to watch it live to watch Game of Thrones. And it's a big deal. You have to watch it live. And my dad was watching John Wick, the first one. And I told my dad, you got to get the hell out of here because I need to watch Game of Thrones. And I pretty much kicked him out because I had three people coming over to watch it. And he never let me forget it for a good 3 months that he made me stop watching John. He had to stop watching John Wick. And he kept telling me, you made me stop watching John Wick. He didn't watch for 3 months. Finally, he watched it and forgave me for not watching it. And he watched John Wick. Is that a bad story?
No, it's a pretty good
I mean, yeah, that's a good story.
Okay.
There's multiple.
Pretty much he hated me for making him stop watching John Wick because he loved it so much halfway through and I made him stop watching it.
Honestly, I thought that movie was going to be garbage. And then my dad told me, no, he loves it. Yeah, my dad loves it. So
great dad movie. Dad approved.
but this was like on the heels of my dad telling me that The Expendables is a good movie. And so I was like, but John Wick is really fantastic. So
fantastic. Dad approved.
All right.
What do we got?
Dad approved. All right. On to topic 2. This is going to affect most of our listeners, I would assume, or at least those whose password you're using. Netflix is increasing their prices from $1 to $2 for each plan in 2019. Pass or play?
I want to play here.
Play.
I think Netflix, their stock started to plummet. Disney, obviously launching their next platform, going to pull a lot of viewers. And I was pretty skeptical of Netflix, thinking that they were going to lose a lot of viewers. But I've also read into the Disney perspective, and I feel like they're also hurting for like a big, like a long-term viewership plan. So I think Netflix, they're not going anywhere. I think they're going to bleed a little bit, but
I think that this can go two ways. One, if they like, everyone's out on an automatic pay almost for Netflix, where like if you added a dollar or two, no one really noticed. I don't know if you have to like re-enter your credit card or re-enter any information to make it go through, but if that doesn't have to happen and you just keep taking my money, I won't know. I don't care. The thing that everyone's getting mad about is the possibility of ads coming in between episodes of like what you're watching. That's what people are getting mad about, the idea of like, oh, if you show an ad, I'm quitting Netflix. But an extra dollar or two without me knowing, I don't care that much.
Well, and I think people are more likely to keep using Netflix for an extra couple bucks a month than with the ads, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're not going to just jump over to Disney instead of, like,
absolutely.
It's going to be either I keep Netflix and maybe subscribe to this Disney streaming service with limited content, but at the same time, Netflix has done a really good job of getting huge name actors into their, like, original content that I just feel like they've established the base well enough that they're not going to, like, lose their entire viewership to Disney, and Disney's going to struggle for that, and they're, I don't know.
Right. Well, I don't know if Disney's going to struggle because they're going to come into this with known properties where Netflix is starting from scratch on a lot of it, especially all their originals. Once they're losing, because it's only a matter of days before The Punisher is going to be announced that it's gotten scrapped and canceled because it's a Disney property. It's not going to come back. Like, and then Jessica Jones will be the same thing. So they have to build up like Stranger Things and all these different original series that you don't have like an existing following where all of a sudden Disney streaming's like, oh yeah, we're just gonna make a TV show and it's gonna star Bucky, and we're gonna make one that stars Loki, and we're gonna do a Star Wars one. Like, yeah, you already have my money. They already have two Star Wars ones lined up. I'm already gonna pay for that. I already know it. But the other thing with Netflix is they keep upping the amount of money that they're spending on content every year. Mm-hmm. And there's some really big original films coming out. According to Variety, Netflix is going to be spending $15 billion on content this year. That is a massive amount of money. So if they want to charge me another, I'll charge my dad, thank you, another dollar or two, I'll quick pay him for that because I'm watching all that content.
Yeah, I think that what Netflix started as was more of like the service they provided, and now they thankfully they've started creating their own content before Disney got a, you know, right, started their own service, so that they have more to offer than just streaming, you know, movies and TV shows. They are creating stuff, and the stuff they're creating is pretty decent.
It is. There's a lot of good original, like Netflix originals, that are that are worth watching and spending your time on. And I'm kind of pissed at Disney, honestly, for like creating this divide. I feel like they're the like the pissy.
It's just an evolving world. I feel
I get it. They see an opportunity, but it's like they are creating a divide in a world that it didn't need to be created. Like,
if the shows come out on that streaming service and they're amazing, you're gonna be like, wow, I'm so glad they did this.
I bet you that these like Marvel series that are gonna come out on Disney Plus is gonna be better than anything that was on Netflix.
Yeah. It's Disney. They don't mess up.
Fair.
Okay.
DC.
Fair.
It's not DC. That actually is failing. Disney or DC does have its own streaming thing.
What?
Yes. And if you didn't know, recently, they do have the Teen Titans like live action TV show is on there. That was like going to be their big sell. It's not doing well. It's not being rated very well either. The actor that plays Robin in that Teen Titans TV show or streaming show came out and said that their show is better than Avengers Infinity War, and got a lot of flack for it. But now you've heard of the DC streaming.
Good to know. Don't really care that much. I'm Netflix all the way. So I think that kind of moves us on to like to another streaming device of Hulu. Good transition, Tim, right? Not that bad.
Thanks for stealing it for me.
Well, you were going for it, but I wanted to take it.
I know. I saw that. You're like looking at me like, can I time this perfectly?
The actual eye contact helped me steal that from you. So if we were not live, I could not do that. So pretty much there's a big, not a controversy. It's just petty wars between Hulu and Netflix. Netflix was dropping a Fyre Festival documentary, which was a big deal. Well, a year ago, there was a festival going on in Bahamas, and they're pretty much going to have this big festival. $100,000 already spent by each person. It's going to be the best festival of all time. It was a disaster. People were sleeping in hurricane tents. No food, no blankets, no nothing. And Netflix had a documentary. And they had it released for this certain date. Then a day before, Hulu releases their own documentary, releasing pretty much the same documentary style. A little bit different here and there, but obviously we'll go over it. But they released a different Hulu documentary for them. Same topic, everything, to be petty. I love it.
Yeah, it was like sneaky. It just dropped.
Very sneaky. And I think Hulu's just trying to get an edge on Netflix any way they can, and it's a very smart move, I think.
Yes and no. I could see that it could be a smart move, but I feel like if it wasn't for the controversy that it drummed up, I never would have heard of Hulu's version of this.
Exactly. That's what Hulu wanted.
That's why it was smart, maybe.
Right. So they did it this time, but how many times is that going to... Sure, it worked this time. Yeah, I don't know. Well, so the part of being sneaky about it, I think, just got me.
It's not original, too. It's right. Like, how long can you... Like, how many times can you do something like that?
Yeah, like twice, maybe.
Right? And then it's like, come up with your own idea.
So, do we think it's a good publicity stunt or a bad publicity stunt? For the most part,
anything that gets you talking is a good publicity stunt in my mind.
Teacher Tim, what do you think?
Bad.
Bad. I think, like,
thanks for your insight.
So when I first heard, I watched the Fyre Festival documentary for Netflix, even after I heard about the Hulu documentary first. And I thought I was going to watch a Hulu one, but I just didn't have easy access to it. It's whatever you have easy access to.
Right.
Like, if McDonald's is a mile away and you can go to Burger King 4 miles away, you're not going to go to Burger King. You're going to McDonald's because it's an easier drive. I don't know if that's a good reference or not.
No, that's pretty good.
I mean, it's like if you're going fast food, you're going to get the one closer, not the one farther away, just for a little bit of more of what you're looking for. Unless you guys like Burger King that much. I like to do some weird analogies sometimes. So
that's I think that's a good one.
I actually, that's my, like, second analogy with McDonald's. I did the McRib analogy for the IMDb game.
I thought that was perfect.
Yeah. Yes,
that was a great
analogy. I did a couple more. I can't remember them off the top of my head. But, yeah, McDonald's, Burger King, Hulu, Netflix.
Yeah.
So I want to add, too, because I think I'm the only one to watch the Fyre Festival documentary.
Yeah, I just didn't have any interest in it.
And what's the word for the D word? That, doink?
Doink.
So there's a guy who's going to suck doink to get water to the festival. They ended up giving them the water for, like, for a certain fee and, like, to help out. But pretty much the Fyre Festival was very fun to watch go down in flames. But cause pretty much Billy McFarlane guy, he's an entrepreneur, supposed to be this big-time guy. He created McNeesis, which is a credit card company or something like that. He's pretty much a fraud, a liar, and he got exposed pretty bad. It was awesome.
Thanks. So when you say that act, was this, are you, because that's a saying sometimes, you know, I will totally do that if for this. Are you talking literal or are you talking a saying?
Literal.
Wow.
We had a couple of Bud Lights tonight. Is that what you're saying?
Doink. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm taking his word for it. Hit, like, the interview that he had, and like the reason people on Twitter, I'm a Twitter first guy, he said, like, the people were like, between Netflix and Hulu, what was the difference? One guy was willing to suck doink in a video on Netflix. Hulu didn't offer that same video content. So
maybe that's why I heard the Netflix version was better.
Probably. I think Netflix offered a better like visual of what happened at the camp.
Right. I heard that they had a lot more content.
Yeah. So I would still prefer the Netflix one because it's easier. Once again, if they raised it $1 to $2 over Hulu, I wouldn't care. I'm still choosing Netflix.
Right.
Fair. Agreed.
So we're going to keep talking about Netflix here. If we pass or play on this one, there is a new film announced for Netflix called The Devil All the Time. This is going to be starring Chris Evans, Tom Holland, and Robert Pattinson. Pass or play?
Can I point something out really quick?
Yeah.
There's two other names in here that you didn't say. Because they're very hard to say.
Well, I know Bill Skarsgård, but I don't know if you know who Bill Skarsgård is.
No idea.
That's why I didn't say it.
Oh, I think you said it because it was hard to say his name. Because the other one's just as hard to say. Mia Wallachowska.
Yeah. and then there's Eliza Scranlon.
Three hard names in a row. I thought you just stopped right there.
Well, I stopped with the bigger names.
Well, so Tom Holland is the new Peter Parker.
Right.
And then Robert Pattinson's the Twilight guy.
Right.
And then who's the third that you said initially?
That would be Christopher Evans.
Oh, Captain America / Human Torch.
Right. / Human Torch. Right. So, pass or play?
Pass.
I got to pass, too. This long names kind of threw me off.
Tim's just here for just random noises.
I think big names doesn't equate to much. What is it about? Like, give me more than
just
names.
No, you gotta say pass or play.
It is a Midwestern. Oh, we got a player here. A Midwestern gothic involving a serial killer couple, a faith testing preacher, and a corrupt local sheriff in a story told across two decades. So it sounds like a very True Detective style thing.
Now, it sounds like they're playing on a popular setup for the story, but they're just playing on the big names.
Right.
I'm not into it.
All right. Pass.
I need more than just the names here.
Well, just more money Netflix is shelling out.
Yep.
All right. Last topic. Moving on quick. We are recording this post NFL Championship Sunday. If you were watching, you probably saw the new footage for Shazam starring Zachary Levi. You guys have any thoughts? Pass or play?
Play.
All right.
Play.
We're playing it.
Play it.
I'll go first. I thought in the first Shazam with Shaquille O'Neal was fantastic. I thought he did a great rendition of the actor. I think Zachary Levi would play just as well with the genie role with that. And you know,
that's not the Shazam. That's
again,
not this,
for
right?
clarification, Tim keeps running this joke. No, they're not the same people.
Different Shazam. That's not Shazam. That's
Kazam. Is that Kazam?
Well, that's what it's because it's a sequel, so it kind of
not even a sequel. Close.
It's not tied to that.
Not related in the slightest.
I think Zachary Levi will play a good role in.
Oh my goodness!
What he's trying to do. Sorry, that was. I'm done with the joke. That was the last one. We're done. I retire it completely. Go on. Sorry.
Shazam, for Tim's knowledge, is the most recent installment in the DC universe. He is a character. He's a young kid that gets the powers to, once he says Shazam, he turns into basically Superman.
Yeah.
The original comic book character's name was Captain Marvel, interestingly enough.
No way.
Due to copyright issues, Marvel sued and got the rights to that name, so they went with Shazam. But, yes, two Captain Marvel movies are coming out this year.
Interesting. I feel like DC movies obviously haven't been that great in the past because the writing is terrible, and just the preview for this movie made it seem much more humorous and less forced. Like, I know the action and all that stuff could be there, but I'm more interested, can they make a story where the dialogue is believable and I buy into the characters?
Right.
And the preview makes it look that way, but you never know.
Right. It looks fun, and it looks like it's the first DC movie since Zack Snyder got his hands on it that doesn't have that dark, gritty tones and that weird look that all of the DC movies have had. It actually kind of looks like a Marvel movie, like visually.
Yeah.
It seems like a Marvel movie at first glance. And I wanted to believe in it. I wanted to be excited about it. But then I saw Aquaman.
Uh-oh.
And it kind of just destroyed all faith that I had in DC. I didn't have very much, but I thought this might be the turning point. But then everyone said Aquaman was the turning point. Everyone said Aquaman was great. I
didn't say that.
I don't think
you didn't say that.
Tim didn't say it. I know Tim didn't say it.
A lot of people said that, though. A lot of people said Aquaman was the, like, this was a good turning point. They did great.
Who said that?
Apparently no one said
it.
We got it. Yeah. One of the topics.
You said that.
Yeah, because
I said I liked it. I didn't say it was a turning point. I said Jason Momoa was amazing, and he did a great job, and it wasn't perfect, but I liked it, and I was entertained. Was it a good movie? Was it a great movie? No. Was it an entertaining movie? Yes. Was it better than a lot of the, what's the word for SHIT? Short.
Shirt.
Yeah. A lot of the shirt they've been coming out with, it was better. Doesn't come up near Wonder Woman, but.
Okay.
I
disagree.
It's tough. I feel like we're getting a superhero trailer movie every week now.
Yeah.
It's kind of getting not overplayed because they're all different in their own sense.
Yeah.
But
well, it's been a continuous thing. Is like, is the superhero genre gonna be played out?
Yeah, and like, just overthinking it all, like the whole podcast thing, like doing movies, like oh, like maybe we have a week off. There's no week off. It's always movies. There's always a new trailer out every week. It's in, like,
is that another weird? Superhero movie?
I never like. I was always focused on sports for so long, and now there's like. You can't. There's news for movies every week, no matter what.
Hey, it keeps us in business.
It does. I thought it'd be like a season finale for us or something like that. It's like, nope, no season finale. There's a Marvel trailer every week for you, DC.
There's always news. I mean, we're recording these two episodes, the closest we've ever recorded two together, and we still had enough news topics to keep talking for however long we did.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Yeah, did you guys watch the trailer for Spider-Man? Far From Home?
Yeah, we discussed this last week.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, I listened to it, and let's move forward. Yeah.
To be fair, the podcast, we're so close together that we don't have time to listen sometimes. Well, so.
Yeah.
And I end up watching Homecoming because of we talked about that trailer. So props to that news drop. Nice. Shout out to producer Tim as well, who couldn't be with us for the second straight week based on miscommunication.
You mean not reading texts?
Yeah. That would be miscommunication at some point.
Yep. All right. So that's all we got for news.
Wait, can I add a short thing and you can take it out if you don't like it?
Yes.
It's newsworthy, I guess. It's this show that hit Netflix called Tidy Up. I don't know if you guys have heard about it.
Yeah.
Have you talked about this?
We have not.
It's with Marie Kondo, who is this woman who's like famous for helping people tidy up their homes, which is an interesting concept. But she's like written books and stuff and whatnot. And the show, I've watched a couple episodes. And it's, to me, like an HGTV show. Like, you just put it on and you just want to keep it on in the background. But supposedly, she helps people basically get rid of a lot of stuff they have. And in Chicago, there has been an insane amount of stuff donated to different facilities since the show has aired. Like, people are donating all their shirts.
Yep, good. Shorts and shirts.
Shorts and shirts.
Are you trying to good place this?
She's trying to swear.
I'm trying to do all
they're donating
the above.
Their shit, or are you saying they're actually donating shorts and shirts?
They're donating all of the above, and in such large quantities that this show is really taking people by storm, and I just thought that was interesting.
No, that is a really good point.
It's like the P90X of cleaning.
Clean 90X. Yeah.
Very good.
We've cleaned our home based on this.
No, we haven't.
We've taken a new approach.
I took the trash out.
See, I folded my laundry differently.
To truly follow her strategy, you have to take all the clothes you own and lay it on your bed and look at it all to, you know, understand all the things you own. And then you have to hold every item in your hand and decide if it sparks joy. And if it doesn't, you have to thank the item for letting you...
Okay.
Own it.
Yeah, you
have not done this.
Tim, I'm glad you haven't done that.
This does seem like Clean 90X, though. The fact that, like, if you only do one thing, you're not going to get it done. You got to do the full like process of the program. If you're going to do the full process, you'll see some results. If you don't, if you do one little thing, man, it's not going to work.
Wife says
on the influencers, she is trending.
Ooh, she's an trending influencer now.
Ooh,
that's a note from wife.
That was good news.
In moment note from
teacher
wife.
Tim. Do you have any news to add for us since it was a short news week, or you just want
to? No, I didn't get to say enough about how bad Aquaman was. somehow that conversation got turned into.
Well, you just sat there
up.
And you just looked depressed.
No,
so we moved
the movie
on.
Is bad. It's the definition of cliche. You won't care for the villain at all. It won't make sense.
Are you reading your notes now?
I'm looking at the notes, but literally my notes.
You
got to
write all this
just
down.
Says, Aquaman sucks.
It just says Aquaman. Yeah, it's enough of a point for me to say Aquaman is bad. Do not see it. Don't support it.
I do want to mention that from teacher Tim's, not recommendations, but more his thoughts in the episode we did last time, I watched Isle of Dogs and I also watched Sicario 2 and 1.
Watched a lot of movies.
Wow.
Yes, tell me.
Which one?
Isle of Dogs.
Yes,
both. Right there.
I thought Isle of Dogs was very well. I thought the banter of the dogs is what really got me in right from the get go. Because it is very weird at the beginning because you just have all these Wes Anderson type gadgets and gadgets and stuff. But when the dogs start talking to each other is when you really like feel yourself into like all the characters and stuff. You're like, all right, these dogs are hilarious and they really have a good thing going together. And that's when you really follow the storyline and like that's when you really, okay, I'm like into the movie now. But at the beginning, before the dogs banter, I was like kind of like trying to figure out what the hell is
here.
What the here is going on. Really? That's the word?
Yeah.
What the here is going on. Okay. But Sicario 1 and 2, I think we mentioned it before on the podcast that when Emily Blunt was on season 2 or season 2, movie 2. It definitely was like a setback, I guess. But I also thought that Sicario 2 was one of those movies that said we don't want any setbacks in how far they can go with torture and everything. So I think Emily Blunt would have set them back based on her kind of like didn't want to go too
morality.
Far level while they wanted to really see a level of torture that didn't have any limits to it. So I think that was a good holdback with no Emily Blunt, in a sense. So, but I thought both Sicario 1 and Sicario 2 were very good.
Nice. Yeah, I've yet to see 2, but I love 1. 1 is great.
Have you seen Isle of Dogs?
I don't like Wes Anderson.
It's not about Wes Anderson. It's so much better and bigger than Wes Anderson.
It's different than a lot of his movies, and it is really cool how everything...
Is it much different than Fantastic Mr. Fox?
I didn't see that, but I won't see that.
I think once you hear the dogs talk, you'll be very, like, pleased with what you're watching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean all of the standard, like, Wes Anderson actors that are just
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, Ed Norton.
Yeah.
But I do see myself taking recommendations from guests and trying to really, like, watch them and put my best foot forward.
You only watch my movies when you lose to me in trivia.
True, because you're, I mean, it's the nerd stuff for the most part. All the DC and Marvel stuff.
Did you watch Annihilation?
I did. I had to watch that, though.
You talked about that.
Yep, last
episode. It didn't disturb you as much as it disturbed
Jordan. Correct, because they were disturbed so much that I was already undisturbed because of their disturbedness.
Oh, my God.
So, that's all I got to say about that.
That's all I have to say about.
I took Teacher Tim's movies that he liked, and I watched them all.
I appreciate that. Pleased. I'm impressed.
I'm not going to watch Aquaman because of you now, too.
Thank you. Yes, don't watch it.
So I think we're going to move on. We're going to skip Tim's TV talk time this week. Only because I don't think Teacher Tim listened to last week's episode, so he didn't know what the TV talk was, right?
Correct.
It was about The Bachelor. Mm. And so that's going to be our discussion for the week as well, The Bachelor. So pretty much my points were, I think The Bachelor has potential. Obviously, it's been around for, I don't even know. The show's potential. They make 3-hour episodes. Why do they do this all the time?
Because people will watch.
But only if you're watching from the, like, say you're a new person trying to watch The Bachelor, and you see episode 1 is on, and it's 3 hours, why would you watch that?
No one is just deciding to watch a 3-hour episode on their own for the first time. You watch The Bachelor for 3 hours because it is a culture now, and there are events hosted where people are saying, come watch the season premiere. It's 3 hours long, and we're going to watch together. It's the Super Bowl of... Yeah, no. Football is over.
Yes, because we watched it and fast-forwarded through all that stuff because it's stupid and boring, and nobody wants to watch that. And they only had 1 3-hour episode because people won't watch it. They're not going to get people to continue
to
watch
it. But the average episode's 2, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's it's still very long.
They did do one season where they had 2 nights of episodes, and people stopped watching it because people didn't want to commit more than 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh. That's when they lost me. Right.
But seriously, like, people won't watch it, so.
No, people will watch it, but people are watching 3-hour episodes on the season premiere and the season finale. Everything else is 2 hours, but they know people are getting together for 2 hours on Monday nights for The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, and... We fall into that category. Like, we're watching it. Like,
I mean, we just watched football for how long today?
Like, six, 7 hours.
Yes. 2 overtime.
And you know how much money they're getting in those ad breaks? That's why it's 2 hours.
So I have a question for both Teacher Tim and Ashlyn. What makes you keep coming back to The Bachelor? Is it, like, the people, the drama? What is the actual thing that brings you back into The Bachelor, Bachelorette?
You want to take this first? You want me to go?
You go first.
It seems simple. Maybe not.
It's not that simple, Tim. It's not simple. Okay. Well, first of all, is it the romance? Of course not. No. It's not for the romance. Because most of the relationships are bogus and don't last. One reason, the drama is, in my mind, kind of fun to watch. And when life gets complicated and annoying, to watch other stupid people and realize that I'm in a pretty good place in my life, it's a nice morale boost. And sometimes it's nice to just hear people bickering about petty shit and, you know, feel like...
You're better than them.
Yeah, yeah, yes, that's true.
That is why this TV show exists.
It is.
You feel better about yourself.
You do. Plus, it's fun to just... bitch about the people on the show who suck and talk about the people you love and make predictions. So there is that, like, fantasy football element of it. And we are doing the ESPN Bachelor Fantasy League. So that's fun.
Yeah, if that didn't exist, I probably wouldn't watch it as much. But if I knew that was your motive, I probably wouldn't be watching it either. I thought you actually believed in this.
No.
Oh.
Your wife's not romantic.
Oh, I am romantic, but I don't think that's the way you meet someone. The people who are on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are only on it because they want to become famous in the reality TV setting. It's not because they want to find love.
Yeah. I'm convinced everyone on this show is an actor or actress.
They're not.
So,
no way.
And not to a professional degree. I think they're just like trying to do something dramatic in front of a camera. I think they're just like a collection of personalities that are chosen by the show.
Well, but it's also the way it's edited. Jordan knows this. Oh, God.
And that's why I want to watch it with Jordan, because I watch the show and I pick it apart thinking, like, that's not happening in real time.
No.
Or that's awkward, but it's not actually awkward, or it's they're making it seem romantic and it's not romantic.
Yes.
Everything is crafted to look a certain way to the audience.
And to make someone the villain, someone the idiot. It's not authentic. Like,
no one. How many people think it's authentic? Does anyone think it's authentic?
It's like wrestling.
Yeah.
But when you watch all of those 3-hour episodes and the season premieres and the season finales, there are like entire fan bases of people that are screaming and cheering for this show that they believe in. Like, you know what I mean? Every episode they have the live audience.
So I.
They don't believe in the love. I feel like you just create personal connections with like who you think should be the winner.
Yes.
And so it's not so, and then like every single season, I think that's why you keep watching, because like the past season, the person that you really liked or were rooting for, they're now the new Bachelor. And so you're like, you have this personal connection with like the people that you, and so that's why I feel, and I also feel like that's why it's 2 hours long, is because an hour long wouldn't be enough to actually see in the developing personalities.
That's a really good point. I think we watched Rachel, right? Rachel?
Rachel's season.
And who was she? She was one of the bachelorettes on the season 4.
Ari. No. Oh, yeah.
For Ari.
Rachel?
Or was it Chris? Or what's his name?
No.
Okay, it's okay. That's okay.
No, not Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo.
No, not Juan Pablo.
Anyway, we watched and we loved Rachel. And then she became the bachelorette. And she was the worst. So you're right. They build this development in a character.
They get you to like people. It's totally
scripted, though. In my mind, they're like scripting this character of who they're going to be.
Well, there's so many like obvious things. Like you can tell like the writers in this are pretty good. The editors maybe not so much. It tricks most people, so I guess there's that. But because when I watch this with my wife Sabrina, it annoys her to holy hell here. To holy here.
Good.
All right. That I point out that scene from earlier, like we'll be watching something and it's dramatic. And like there'll be like some woman will say something and then there's like the really awkward pause and everybody has this look on their face and that they got a cutaway of like everybody's shocked face. It's like there are 4 cameras in that room and they just showed 7 different reactions to that one person's like word. That's not how that works. There wasn't enough cameras. They cut all that around. Or there's like the awkward silence where you can tell they're trying to make things like feel awkward and they're building the tensity. Like, what's she going to say? But then they show like the back of somebody's shoulder, like almost their profile. And you can tell their jaw is moving. They're actually talking, but they just cut the audio because they're like, oh, it's tense. What's he going to say next?
Well, and sometimes they'll even show like the same clip.
Right.
From a different angle of like the awkward silence. And you're like, wait.
I see her talking on the side. Right. She's in the corner. I see her hands moving. She's definitely talking.
There's also no way that they don't coach them up, say, like, with the fake, like, tears. Like, when they get eliminated round 2 and they're like, I just felt like he was the person. And I'm like, okay, you don't even know him.
But
I think that's embarrassment.
A lot, yeah, and a lot of the people admit that when they get eliminated early on, they're like, this is just really embarrassing. And I get, like, I don't think they're crying because they're sad. I think they're crying because they're mortified. Because all the people who are on the show, anyone who's a contestant, like, in their circle of friends is, like, the queen bee, or, you know what I mean? And so to go on a show like this and be public and then be rejected is mortifying.
Yeah.
And that's what it is more for most of these people than love.
Yeah.
At least until the
end. Some of them quit their job, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
And some of them throw it in their face. There's a girl on this episode, or on this season, she's like, just so you know, I quit my job to be here. It's like, oh, way to guilt him.
Yeah, yeah. They all did.
No, like yeah. I said, like they're mortified, blah, blah, blah. You know, we get it. After that, they're going to get a nice little Instagram deal for an ad for MadeFit or some kind of vitamin. They're going to sell for $250,000 per post. Yeah. They're going to make a lot of money off that, and they already do. So it's a good gig. Once they actually get famous off it, get the Instagram followers, get the social media advertising, and they're set for a while.
Yeah. Well, and then they can come back and be on Bachelor in Paradise, yep. which is actually a much better idea if you really want people to connect and find love, instead of having one guy who everyone is just supposed to fall head over heels in love with, or vice versa, one girl, like put a bunch of like eligible bachelors and bachelorettes in the same place and let them see who connects with who. That makes a lot more sense. And there's actually been a lot more successful relationships from that show than from just the bachelor or bachelorette. Like if you look at how many bachelor and bachelorette seasons there have been and how many successful relationships compared to Bachelor in Paradise, it's interesting.
Like, are you the one? Shout out John Eustace.
Are you the one? The last season, I don't know if you watched it.
Oh, God.
The ending
I have
of
no
the
idea
show,
what you're talking about.
The right ending now. Was
what?
Awful.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Are You the One is an amazing show.
The ending of this last season, brutal.
They go on the show and they've all taken a test where supposedly their perfect match is on the show somewhere. And so then at the end of each week, they all match up with someone. And then there's like a detector that goes off and says how many perfect matches they have, but it doesn't say which ones are perfect matches. And if they can perfectly match everybody up by the end of the season as a group, they collectively get $1 million. And they have a smush room.
Yeah, I've watched a couple episodes for that. They pretty much boom boom room wherever they want to at that point. Like they do, they have the room. I watched a couple episodes last season.
So it's like the Challenge Mansion.
It is. Are You the One people would go into the Challenge though after they're like all the all stars from Are You the One go to the Challenge.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's one of the feeder programs.
It's one of the minor league programs they have getting ready for the big leagues. So. And like once they get on the Challenge, everyone from the Challenge makes fun. I'm like, oh, you Are You the One. All you were doing was just sitting there like romanticizing and doing, I was trying to,
trying
that,
to think of
I was
going to
say forking, yeah, forking and doing all that stuff while the Challenge people were really getting strong and lifting weights and doing stuff. Yeah. How many shows from The Bachelor really exist? Like it's a Bachelor, Bachelorette,
and Bachelor Paradise.
There's like 10 spinoffs of The Bachelor pretty much that come up.
No, that's okay. It. You've named them all.
Cool. I know my trivia.
You know your trivia.
Bachelorette, Bachelor, or Bachelor in Paradise?
Bachelor in Paradise is really entertaining, but you have to have seen the seasons leading up to it to know the people. But there's way more drama.
But it's the all-star crew, right?
Honestly, I feel like it depends on who the bachelor and who the bachelorette are. Because if you don't like those people, the whole season's unbearable. Like, Juan Pablo was the worst. Ari was the worst. So, like, watching those seasons was just painful because they keep making terrible decisions. But I like Colton. I've also heard a rumor, not just because he's a virgin, but because my cousin says she knows people, that he's gay.
Not. Oh, whoa.
Which Billy Eichner called out on that on the episode he was in. He said, he's like, you're a virgin? Are you gay? And he's like, that would be a great episode. He's like, put this on the promo.
Shout out to Billy Eichner.
Yeah, we should segue into that. He's been tweeting pretty hard that he wants to be the next Bachelor.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
He said, no spin. I don't want any, like, the lower bottom, like, Bachelor type shows. I want the Bachelor only. Give me a gay Bachelor. I want it. I will be the guy.
That would be awesome, but it would be hard to control because the guys might all fall in love with each other.
Well, yeah, that was my
Wait,
comment.
Wait, what? No.
No.
What's wrong?
What?
That's a fucking stereotype. That, like,
no, it's not.
The gay people fall in love with the other gay
people.
It's like,
actually
no.
Really weird to think that there's just one guy that everybody should meet and instantly fall in love with.
It becomes more like a Bachelor in Paradise where they're all eligible for one another.
Yeah.
Whereas the females aren't ever competing for each other. They're always competing because they're straight. There's only one, you know, Bachelor.
So it's like I feel like tequila. That's fair, but I feel like then you're assuming that every contestant on The Bachelor or Bachelorette is honestly in this for the authentic reason of falling in love with the contestant.
No, but the no, we're not saying that, but the chances of somebody falling in love with somebody that isn't Billy Eichner on the show is there.
It's yeah, it's possible. Well, and the amount of people who have gone on The Bachelor or Bachelorette and actually said, I don't think that I want to be with you to The Bachelor or Bachelorette is so slim. They just get on and it becomes a contest to them. Like nobody gets on, most people get on that show and just want to stay on the show, even if they're not really into the relationship because they, right. No one wants that rejection.
They
want
to win.
And they want the fame. Yeah. So it would be an interesting concept.
I'm all for it. I would love it. I would actually watch an entire Bachelor with Billy Eichner.
But who wouldn't fall in love with Billy Eichner?
Well, only one person can. The rest have to kind of settle for seconds.
No, everyone can fall in
love
with
him. Tim, would you go on that?
Billy Eichner? I'd be a cameraman to watch it or something like that. That'd be fun to watch.
It would be.
Yeah.
It'd be.
Tim will be the boom guy.
Shout out to Billy Eichner.
The boom guy.
Shout out to Billy Eichner still. I think one thing that I noticed too for strategy-wise, like they don't want to lose, obviously, everyone has that emotional card they pull out at a certain episode where they say like their one emotional thing, like, wow, that just saved me a week on this show. Like they like know when to use it sometimes.
They strategically pull out this like, what's the card that's going to get me this rose?
Yeah.
This
and
week?
Some are super serious, so you don't like want to make fun of it, but you know they're using it. For their purposes of going farther on the show.
Exactly. They use it as a tool.
There was one girl
I have to say, one.
Are you going
to
say that girl?
I'm going to say that one.
Tell it.
The one girl that says, my brother suffers from autism.
Yes.
And she continues to like emphasize the fact that her brother suffers from autism.
She actually only used that language on the first episode, but still it's irritating.
It is but then season? Even in the next episode, she's just like, it's just this affliction that like, you know, it affects our family, and she makes it seem like it's I'm not saying it's not a huge part of her life, but she makes it seem like it's this crush, this like terribly like unfortunate thing. It's like having autism. I don't know. Maybe this is maybe getting too deep, but like it's obviously a condition, but it's not a fucking it's not a sufferable.
Forking
condition. It's not a forking condition. She makes it seem like it's pitiable, and it's just something that I feel like is something that she needs to
she's trying to use her card. Like she's trying to use what she has.
She's making it seem like it's a sympathetic thing, where it as more so
I
than it should be.
I agree but disagree. So if you saw the first episode, it's her twin brother, and he is definitely like very disabled as far as autism goes. And it's totally probably producers and everything videos at her house, but like it definitely was a huge part of her life, and like she's been there for him throughout like her every single stage. And so I think like there's a little bit of like, to me, I guess that is something, at least something different compared to what most girls' sympathy card is. Like, I don't know how many of them are like, oh, I have like kids at home, or like, I don't know, I've been married before.
Well, the one girl tried to use that, I'm a virgin too, and it didn't work.
Wait, did she lie about it?
No, she was.
She's never been kissed.
Never been kissed.
Never been kissed.
Not only a virgin.
Well, that also, So, but on top of that, but she played that card and it didn't work that week.
Well, no, it did work because he said, thank you for opening up, and I appreciate the fact that you're being honest with me, and like, I understand you. But
she didn't get the rose.
She
did get a rose, just not that.
The rose.
I do think that it's maybe a little bit more deep or authentic than some of the other sympathetic stories, but I think she's just using it. Like that's my concern.
I don't
like
know
she
that she's
using
just using
this.
It. I think honestly it was just in that first episode that you're referring to, the terminology, and I wouldn't put it past the producers for saying, here's how you have to say it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But instead of saying, my brother has autism, she said, my brother suffers from autism.
Yeah.
And hearing that, I was like,
we both cringed
and said, and we're like,
okay, we have so many students with autism and they don't suffer from it.
Right. Like
it just seems like something, it's a condition that people are afflicted with for sure, but it just seemed like something that was unnecessary for her to like flaunt as this sympathetic story that she maintains throughout the next few episodes.
I was gonna say one more thing. There's a producer from The Bachelor that has been on every single show and helped, like, one of the top producers that's produced every single show, and he just quit recently, which I think is, I mean, maybe interesting to see if the show changes at all without him.
Yeah, he probably got tired of them talking about the virgin thing for every single episode. That's what I'm seeing on Twitter. I haven't watched it. But oh, we should honestly recap this new season and see what's going on. So pretty much what I took out of it without watching any of the episode, one, so virgin, got it. Two, there was a person dressed as a chipmunk at the beginning.
No, sloth.
Sloth. And I heard she was forced to wear it by the producers.
I'm sure she was.
I'm absolutely positive she was.
Okay. And she also talked like this. Yeah.
And then we have the Australian accent when she's not Australian. I had that one as well. That's a thing. And then I think that's it. That's pretty much all I know about The Bachelor.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good sum of
Tell me what's going on.
There's definitely that one girl that there's every year there's that one guy or girl that, you know, the producers are like, you have to give them a rose.
There's a couple.
Okay. Yeah. There are two quick things I'll relate it to a question. One, someone touched the rose without getting the rose. That's Demi. A big no-no.
Right.
Is she the villain? And if she's not, yes. Who is the villain?
No, okay. They made her to be the villain. What she did at that moment was not that fucking bad. She came back from a one-on-one, yeah. And she...
No, it's that your serious. Language.
Okay. She touched the rose. She picked it up and said, this is mine, by the way. And the one girl was so offended by the fact that she picked up the rose. It's just drama.
I have to say, when you see this girl who did this, Demi, she totally is going to be a villain because they show her on the, like, camera talking to, or, you know, when she's just talking to the camera guy and she's like, these old women, like, don't know what they're doing. They don't, I've got everything. Like, basically, this girl is talking a lot of smack because she's young. And so she thinks that gives her an advantage. And then she, like, came out in a robe and was like, let me rub you. Wouldn't you love to just come home to me rubbing you like this every day? Like, just not trying to get to know the guy, just being like, look at me and how much I can do things for you.
It's a lot like Corinne for the moon bounce, the pool scene where they're.
I like Corinne better than I like
this
girl.
Big fan of Corinne. I was always a big fan.
But, all right, do you honestly think that this girl is that conceited and that, like, do you think this is her? I don't. I think the producers are telling her to be this villain. They're telling her to say.
You could also cut it in post where you're only seeing those lines. You're not seeing the nice stuff.
I don't think she's.
I would think of The Office now, like when Meredith is like, do you think that they portrayed you correctly? Yeah. The entire time through 7 years, I was getting my, like, whatever degree she was getting. And all you showed me was drinking. But hey, it's college.
I just went onto Instagram really quick, and most of the people, the women especially, that have been on The Bachelor are averaging about 500,000 Instagram followers. So if you're looking for a quick way to get rich and become an influencer on Instagram, go on The Bachelor.
I told you. I'm a social media, I don't know the word, I guess fan, but I'm on a lot.
I was going to say, if you're going to say specialist, I got a couple of duties for you.
Yeah, I was trying to use my words the best way I could. They definitely, once you get famous from it, you can do those ads and get a lot of money off it. So
yeah.
Even if you're like a top 10, if you get top 10, you're in the money.
I mean, Nick Viall has 1.1 million.
That makes me trust them even less. That makes me think that's exactly my point. Like, when they go on this show, they're in that mindset that if I go on the show, I can become an influencer. So I'm going to be whatever personality they want me to be. I will be whatever. I'll be the person they want me to be.
Yep.
So that I can make them money and then launch my future. So I don't buy into any of it. And I just watch it for the pure entertainment factor and
it's very entertaining.
Thus the fantasy factor, because thank God they added the fantasy scoring factor on the fantasy football app.
Okay. I think we got probably one more topic in this.
Can we say who we think is going to be the final three or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go two more topics.
No, just in the rows. Like, who's going
to
win?
No, I know. Oh. I want to get to the continuous teasers over and over and over and over again of him jumping over the fence and leaving.
Oh,
okay. So when you watch this show, you literally cannot watch the previews for coming up next, because a lot of the coming up next might mean coming up in 5 weeks.
Yeah, the season finale.
It's so bogus. Yeah. It's so annoying. You just have to fast forward through it.
I know, but it's just like you're teasing. This is like the only thing they've been teasing is like the end of it. And I'm sure it's going to be the last episode.
Right.
So dramatic that he like jumps over the fence and runs away. Real manly of you. two, like, why do you keep doing that if everything's going to fail? And they literally show like a quick snippet of like this one girl saying, I can't say yes to him. Like, do I know the ending of the entire show now? I'm done.
Well, and if you watch the show, you'll know that every season they say, this coming up this season on The Bachelor, something we've never seen before, for the first time ever, every season, it's something that's never been done before, and you'll be blown away by what happens in the finale. Like, they make it so dramatic.
So, a couple, like, you know, ending questions. So, it seemed like everyone's kind of disappointed with the virgin take, I guess, of what's going on with, like, they're trying new things, obviously. What do you think the best idea for the next Bachelor or Bachelorette is? What kind of, like, person are they? Are they a certain person, or is this kind of pretty much going off second place for the next Bachelor or Bachelorette? What do you think they should do?
Billy Eichner.
Is Billy Eichner?
I do feel
I'm 100%
like
for that.
They need to have somebody on the show that people are attached to. It's always hard when they have a brand new Bachelor or Bachelorette, which they've very rarely done, that is either like not famous or hasn't been on a season before, because people aren't like, they don't buy in. So kind of like Sabrina pointed out, when somebody's been on a season before and you like them, then you want to watch their season. Or if it's somebody like Billy Eichner and you know them, then you want to watch.
But then you're getting fans like me who, I hate the show, but I would tune in for like Billy Eichner's witty remarks every week.
But I wonder, like, would this show even go in that direction? Because wonder if they would lose other fans that they already have, I think. Even though I would love, if Billy Eichner was the Bachelor, they would lose some of their current fans who would, I don't know.
I hate that that's a business decision.
I know, no, right?
They have a current system that is working. They will not change up their business model for the sake of a specific viewer. Like, they develop a sympathetic character that they know is going to be the next Bachelor or Bachelorette, and that's what they do. They make you want that person to win. That person doesn't win, and so they can create that as their next franchise. So you watch that, and then it's like this continuous buy-in that you have. They're not going to just bring in someone new that you purely love, because they have a system that works. Like, that's everything that we're talking about. It's all fabricated and constructed so that you buy into a character that you're going to watch next season, and then they do the same thing over and over and over again. I've never seen anything authentic or new about any of the seasons. All of the dialogue and every conversation is literally a repeat of something you could plug and play with any season before. There's nothing original about any season.
How about they have Billy Eichner act on the next season as a straight guy? Everyone falls in love with him, and then
that was a show already. And it was called Average Joe or something like that.
And then, I liked that show.
It was fantastic. It was like one.
And then he comes out as gay, and they're like, "We have our next Bachelor."
Yeah, no.
What was that show called? Average Joe show. That was fantastic.
They were like pretending to be millionaires, and they weren't.
That might be another show too. Actually,
there was another show. It was like The Big Lie or whatever, where like they told these two people that they had to convince their parents that they were in love and getting married, but like one guy was like
sweaty,
curly, overweight, hair, like not taking care of himself, and the other girl was like, so it's more of like
hot.
more of like hot. So like they don't belong together, kind of a thing. And but if they both could convince their parents that they were getting married and get their approval, they would get like big mansion, this big home. But the guy was actually an actor and was acting like a buffoon on purpose.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And what
love
was that show called?
It was like a one and done season.
Yeah, I gotta find it somehow.
Did you ever watch Beauty and the Geek?
I watched that as well.
That was a good show. It was
that
like
should have been one of your nerdy things last week.
That was
it was like a hot hot girls and then nerdy these dudes. Super nerdy guys
teaching each other the yes. ropes of each being nerdy and being hot.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Okay, we got to scoop the, you know, get this done with. I have a last question. Is The Bachelor a good show?
No.
Is it a good show? Absolutely not. Is it an entertaining show? 100%.
Teacher Tim, what do you have to say about Bachelor?
Good show.
Good show.
Wait, can I just say, so that it's been said, who I think will end up in
yes,
the...
Yes, give us your predictions.
I couldn't even give you okay. any, so yeah,
I just want to say that Cassie, the woman who did the sign language, he loves her, and I think she will be the runner-up. And then I think Hannah G., the girl who got the first impression rose, and she's adorable. I think she's going to be the winner. And I haven't looked up any spoilers, and maybe I'm wrong.
No reality Steve for you?
No. Maybe I'm right.
I like Cassie or Caitlin.
Caitlin's not going to make it.
I don't know any of these people.
Yeah, I like Hannah, at least. Maybe Laurel.
Which Hannah?
I'm just naming names. Hannah G.
Yes, and Hannah then, G. Trust then, me, you don't want the other
what
Hannah.
What about Laura? Laura's going to do pretty good.
There's
Lauren.
No Laura.
No Lauren.
How about Catherine? Vote for her. She's the
no,
worst.
Catherine's not my style.
Here's Hannah B. and Hannah G.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. We need to move on. Okay, so.
Thank you.
Wager time.
You can't just ignore the bet. It's a bet. You bet on a bet, and if you lose the bet.
All right, I'm being told I need to lead us into this. Me and Tim wager every week, and we don't have
time.
Tim and I. Thanks, teacher. I thought teacher Tim was the English teacher.
Math.
Yeah. Jeez. All right, so we always have to watch a show every week. We're tired of it. We've watched a lot of stuff. It's your guys' turn. You guys are on the hot seat this week, and Tim's got some spicy questions for you.
They're not that spicy, actually, but they're about The Bachelor. So,
ooh.
I did it last minute, so they're very basic questions, some of them.
Wait, but do we need to make a wager first?
Basic bench
questions.
You
need to make a wager.
Basic bench questions.
I don't know. I mean, do you have a good wager?
We can make you watch someone ourselves.
Yeah, maybe me and Tim should come up with your punishment.
Maybe you should.
I think you guys should agree on that.
Wow, on the spot. I shouldn't have done that to myself. I think your job should be to find that show. No, never mind. I was gonna say that.
Yeah, I don't know how you could find it and watch it.
Yeah.
You guys should have to watch Aquaman on repeat forever. Because it's such a terrible movie.
That's a weird punishment.
Yeah, no. It's fitting though.
why?
Because I liked it more than he did. There's a lot
How
of
dare
movies
you?
I like more than you did.
All right. All right.
Shape of Water.
You should have to watch. You should do the Bandersnatch. That's what I want you to do.
Really?
Okay. Yep. Yeah. That's Bandersnatch for Ashlyn.
Okay.
What do you Ash. Really?
Okay. You have to watch with me.
Uh oh.
That movie with Jared Leto.
Jared Leto
and Jennifer Connelly.
Oh no!
He said I should never watch, and I thought it was actually a really good movie.
Oh, you watched it alone?
I watched it alone.
Oh, Tim told us about that.
Oh. Okay.
Teacher Tim literally cornered me. So this is Rec Room for a Dream that you're talking about.
Yes. Yep. And I thought it was an outstanding movie.
I was literally with Tim, and Tim's like, oh, I'm trying to tell Ashton she shouldn't watch it. She's home alone watching this movie. And he turns to me and Danny goes, what's the one movie that's just disgusting? You shouldn't watch it like...
By yourself.
Like you shouldn't watch it at all. You feel terrible. We're like, Requiem for a Dream? Yes!
that's what she's watching. She watched it by herself.
I watched it, and I was like, this is a very freaky, messed up movie. However, I thought it was incredibly well made.
Yeah. That's why I made Mark and Caitlin watch it.
And so, Tim, if you lose, you have to watch it with me.
There we go. All right, you guys ready for the questions?
I'm ready.
So who wants to go first?
Tim does.
Okay.
Name all 8 reindeer.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So
for
the first question, I'll let Tim go first.
All right.
How many seasons combined of The Bachelor and Bachelorette are there?
37.
Can I rebuttal?
Well, it's your turn.
What do you mean rebuttal?
It's your turn.
Well, I didn't know if you were just going to say right or wrong.
No, you get your turn.
You can rebuttal.
It's whoever gets closest.
Is it? Oh, it's whoever's closest?
Yeah.
No Price is Right rules?
Yeah.
24.
No, you try to get complicated. I said Bachelor and Bachelorette combined. So Tim was right with 37.
What was his right real answer?
Well, what do you mean? He said 37.
That's was the, it exactly the,
exactly right?
Oh, there, what?
There was there's 23 of the Bachelor and there is 14 of the Bachelorette.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I know what you were trying to do there, and it was smart, but it didn't work.
But it was also dumb at the same time.
So, Ashlyn, you are now first. How many babies were born out of couples from these shows?
Ooh, you're getting deep with these.
Well, that was just, I just looked up 37 facts about like The Bachelor and
9.
Okay.
7.
Wow. One of you was exactly on the money, and it wasn't you, Ashlyn.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Seven babies were born from these shows. I'll say the last question just to say it. What was the IMDb rating for The Bachelor?
Hopefully 2.
3.1.
7.5.
I mean, I think Ashlyn had to see that. It was literally 3.1. I don't know.
No, I knew it was. She would have won if she could see it. 3.
Yeah. So she. I mean, you guys got all the exact answers, but Tim still won that one. So congratulations.
No.
Tim.
Bandersnatch, baby.
And since we are running a little long, I will review Spider-Man: Homecoming next episode. Does that seem fair? Let's do some shout outs. And I did watch it, by the way. I did my bet. Let's do some shout-outs. Teacher Tim, you want to start us off because you're the winner? Recommendations,
Jason
too.
Momoa.
Shout-out to him.
For having the worst movie of the year.
That sounds not like a good shout-out.
All of 2019. Yeah. Lady Gaga. I know this is going back to last year, but I had a student say that Star is Born is a movie that a mom would watch.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And what is
wrong with a mom watching
it? What was her dad approved movie?
No, and I took personal offense to that, but I did watch it with my mother-in-law.
What was it?
Mom approved, Star is Born, dad approved.
John Wick. John Wick's dad approved.
All right, keep going, Tim. Recommendations.
Shout out Karen Page, Punisher. Love it. Season 2. I'm only 2 episodes in, but it's not a bust, as Jordan would have suggested.
Just keep waiting.
I'll keep waiting. I'll keep watching. It's not a bust so far.
I think it's going to bust.
Mm. I'll bust all over you.
Wow.
All right, Ashley.
For those still listening, sorry.
All right, Ashley. You still going, Tim?
No.
Okay.
Shout out to my friend Jen. She passed her speech pathologist test.
Hell yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
Here, yeah.
Cool. Good job. And to Millie, the cuddly pup who's been hanging out with us this whole show. And recommendations, I recommend you watch Requiem for a Dream because it's a really good movie. And yeah, it makes you feel uncomfortable, but it also is awesome and very well done.
That's fair. Shout out to Billy Eichner. Shout out Nick Offerman. Shout out to our wife for making her debut tonight.
Woo!
At awkward times, but she was in there for sure. Shout out to Bud Light. Shout out to Tim and Ashlyn for letting us stay here and do some live podcasting. I'm not staying over. Don't worry. I didn't mean to say stay here.
Just you're welcome
like,
to. You
just meant like here. Staying here as we're doing this. Shout out to the Patriots and Rams for winning me $100. Shout out to G Baby. I'll give him one last shout out. That's all I need.
I thought you retired.
I did retire. I mean, Brett Favre came back out of retirement sometimes. And
G-Baby is now the Brett Favre.
Podcasting, so I'm done. That's all I needed to say. All
right. Well, shout out to my wife, who I keep trying to get to come onto this show, and she refuses until she starts arguing in the background and I shove a mic in her face. So sorry if you couldn't hear some of the things she said. She's got good thoughts. She should come on the show. Shout out to Tim and Ashlyn for having us over. Shout out to Tim. Shout out to producer Tim for again leaving us hanging.
Miscommunication.
That might be his new nickname, is miscommunication. Shout out to the longest conversation about reality TV I've ever had.
That's about The Bachelor too. I could have went deeper into reality TV.
Oh God, I just don't like it. Okay, shout out Zachary Levi. And that's it.
All right, like we say every episode. Unforking believable.
Bye.
Peace.
Deuces.
Goodbye, everybody. Guess what? I was secretly an undercover rock star this whole time.
You can subscribe to Distraction anywhere podcasts are found. Make sure you leave a review. Our voiceover guy still isn't getting paid. Wait, I'm not?